NewsPress.com.
Anyone can make a change, but fear they have the will.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we have two terrific guests today. We have Wendy Freeman, who is the co-founder of AHA, and Melissa Lowenstein, who is program director for AHA. And it's so important that they're here today, given what's going on with Parkland, school out, sit out, and the walkout. And Lisa just moved her fingers like a walking, so tell me that it was a walkout. And the reason it's so important to have Wendy and Melissa here today is that AHA, which does so many wonderful things, and you'll hear about them as you hear about them every week on this show, AHA was founded partly or significantly because of what happened almost exactly 19 years ago, which was the
Columbine.
Columbine.
Yeah. Hi, Neil.
Hi. We were discussing our age and how we forget words.
Yeah, exactly.
Columbine's a tough word. So it's been 19 years.
It has been 19 years, and we did start AHA right after the Columbine shootings because we didn't want to see any teenagers here in Santa Barbara feeling that isolated, that angry, that hopeless, and that much hatred that they would lash out like that.
And yet they're still, in fact, to some extent, even more incidences and fears since Columbine, which is really unfortunate.
It's horrific.
Yeah. So one of the things that which we talk about we've been talking about here for years is that whenever we have a guest on and we're talking about things that you can do in terms of school violence, in terms of bullying, in terms of emotional intelligence, we always say, well, that's very similar to what AHA does. And now we have people from AHA, so I can't say that. But the reality is that so many of the things that are at the center of violence in schools is not so much guns, but things that you do work on, the things that you have decided were things that can be done to make a difference. And what I think is really fascinating is that right after the shootings in Florida, two professors, one from UCSB and one from Rutgers, decided to put together a conference on Google tools, and they had people from all over the country discuss what could be done, and they came up with 10 points, 10 things that could be done. And one of them, which I think is so interesting, is that they said that you shouldn't harden schools, which is sort of what the administration says, but you should soften them by improving social and emotional health.
Exactly, and that's what we've been working to do for all these years. And if people in general anywhere, and now we're focused in this conversation on teenagers and teachers within the schools and in the community, feel more connected to one another, more like they can be themselves, they have someone to talk to, they can have their feelings and know to go and talk to someone about it, and there's people who are open to listening to them and not judging them and helping them, then they're more likely to work their stuff out than they are to act out. And so social-emotional learning, when we started in 1999, we were two therapists wanting to bring that way of thinking, into programs for teenagers. And now it's a big national movement to the importance of bringing social and emotional learning, social and emotional education, as a basis to education in the schools, that it's a real important basic thing that everybody needs.
And I don't want people to think that social-emotional intelligence just helps with violence and anti-bullying. It helps to be a better human being and to be successful. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. There are so many people in my high school graduating class that were smarter than I was, but you know they're out there probably pumping gas now because they didn't have the skills to deal with people. So social-emotional intelligence is something that you need in every area of life. Has violence gotten worse? What's happened the last 19 years? Why has it become? Is it just that we see more stories, or is in fact things getting worse?
Well, I think there is a lot. A big factor is that it's so much more visible, and we have so much access to so many stories every day. I actually don't have hard data right now about whether there are actually more incidents or not, but I do think that their impact is magnified by the way they're shared and the way they're talked about. I think that I've been with AHA since 2011, and I have seen a hardening, a shift in that way of, and also my children have grown up with me in this as part of this program. So I have high schoolers now. They were elementary and junior high when I started working with AHA. And so I have experienced a shift in terms of people's sense of being other and of othering others, in terms of the hard lines that are drawn between groups and between sort of types of people and the stereotypes that exist. Those haven't budged really, and if anything, I think that since 2016 that those lines have hardened even more. And there's actually the Southern Poverty Law Center published a really great report about the quote-unquote Trump effect, which described a dramatic increase in hate speech and bullying in schools since the election in 2016.
And the principals have told us that they, and that was like right after that, that they had seen a rise in the incidences of bullying and teasing and sexism on their campuses. Mm-hmm. Specifically.
And the schools in Santa Barbara, are they still embracing these programs?
The AHA programs?
Well, not just AHA, but recognizing how important emotional intelligence is, restorative justice is, or have they gotten tired of it?
I know that the assistant supervisors at the district or superintendents of the district are working very, very hard on getting things put in place that function well. You know, it's one thing to have really good ideas about wanting restorative approaches to be used in schools, and then it's another thing to have all the players trained in it and to be able to use it when things happen. And teachers are so, so, so busy teaching to the test, and they have so many things to do. It really is important how it's integrated, and they are working very, very hard at figuring out how to integrate it.
You know, I just read an article today, and it has almost nothing to do with what we're talking about, but yet it has everything to do. Apparently, the principal of one of the high schools was demoted today.
Yes.
And they didn't give a reason. And to me, that's sort of the anti-restorative approach, because if you got to walk the walk, and you know you have to deal with consequences in the context of restoring. If something was done wrong, let's figure out what went wrong and let's talk about it.
Right.
So dismissing I don't know. I mean, I have no dog in this hunt, but it just seemed that it would have been nice to have some sort of
a little more transparency.
Yeah, one of the things that I find interesting is I'll be at a dinner party and I'll say, one of the things I think is really important because I want to sound intelligent is emotional intelligence. And I'm not sure everyone, including myself, really has a good definition for it. Emotional intelligence, can mean a lot of things. What's your definition?
You want me to take that one? Emotional intelligence is really quite simply being able to understand our own emotions and identify our own emotions and to manage our own emotions so that we don't fly off the handle. For example, when we're angry, we can recognize that we're feeling a thing and then calmly or at least proactively deal with it rather than being reactive. And then the other part of it is empathy, like being able to feel with another person and to cope well with other people's feeling states, in particular the more difficult ones.
Okay, I'm going down the list to make sure I'm emotionally intelligent.
Okay.
I think I'm checking them off.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I think I need a little bit of work.
Okay. It's an ongoing practice for everyone, including us.
Yes.
We're always working on these.
Yeah, it's a lifelong practice for sure.
So it's like yoga.
Yes, exactly like
yoga. Yoga of the emotions.
But no stretching.
Yes. Well, you can stretch if you want to.
Yeah. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Randy Freeman, the co-founder of AHA, and Melissa Lowenstein, the director of programming at AHA. So before we were talking about why, at least it seems that there are more bad incidences today at schools. And one of the things we were talking about during the break is the impact of social media. Mm-hmm. How significant is that?
It's very significant in a few ways. I see this with my own kids a lot, that it's really easy to get sucked into a vortex of watching content that may or may not be having a positive influence on their brain development. I'll put that lightly. And also just the sheer amount of time that's spent on screens really reduces their time spent out engaging with other people. And there's this sort of comfort level, like I know kids who are just fine just laying around on their bed all day and never leaving the house and being on a screen. And teens need to be connected one way or another. They crave that level of connection, and the screens are sort of a false sort of shadow connection that doesn't give them all they need from that connection in terms of their brain development and in terms of their social and emotional development.
We did an activity in one of the after-school groups last year where we had the teens pair up with someone and go into different rooms and text one another about something difficult that was going on in their lives and have like a text thing about it. And then later we had them come together and have a conversation about it. And they were amazed at how much better the conversations were. Mm-hmm. It's like, because there's a real person and you can see them, and the whole piece on empathy is kind of missed if you can't read people's facial expressions and feel them. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the problems.
If you speak to actors, they'll say if they're doing a reverse shot, they need the actor on the other side to actually participate. Otherwise, they can't do as good a job. I mean, there's a lot of examples of this. And you mentioned empathy. Can you learn empathy? What if you have a kid who's, whatever, for every reason, just isn't empathetic, not yet, you know, psychopathic. He's not, you know, pulling out wings out of flies, but he's just not empathetic. Can you teach it?
To a degree, yes, you can. Now, there people come in, I mean, they've done studies, and people are born, or as young children, can have more empathy and a larger ability to have empathy than other children do. And so then it grows or shrinks according to what their life experiences are. But if you are teaching empathy and giving a lot of possibilities to have empathy in experience in classrooms, you can build empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one important distinction to make is that empathy is not really something you can teach somebody with a didactic lesson. It's something that people learn through relationship. And that's why we do so much experiential work with the kids that we work with. We don't stand in front of them and lecture them. We get them involved with each other and with us, actually having conversations and being in relationship. And that's a way that it can be, empathy can be increased even in somebody who doesn't naturally have very much of it.
Okay, so let me ask you the reverse question. Can you lose empathy? What if you're a kid that had empathy at 6, 7, 8, and then you start to get bullied? Mm-hmm. You start to get picked on.
Right.
Can you actually lose it?
Totally. You shut down. I think it's a survival mechanism on just shutting down to protect yourself, which is why you would want people to intervene or have someone to talk to or have someone to notice that you're having a hard time and get you talking about it so that they have empathy for you, and then it kicks in your ability to have it yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I think, you know, it's one thing to, and we can talk about how professionals can intercede, but kids sometimes don't want to be looked at as an outsider, and they don't defend someone being bullied. You know, there's almost like a need to have a change in the paradigm where it's socially acceptable to be cool and stand up for a bully.
Yeah, that's something that we're really working towards in all our programs, is to really empower kids to be, sometimes they're called upstanders, sometimes they're called allies. And our aim is eventually to just make that cool. I mean, that's really kind of what we're after. And we do that in part by showing up as adults who are kind of cool, and hopefully we're not trying too hard. But adults who get it and who can role model that for kids. And we hear every day that we work with kids on these topics. You know, what is it? Snitches get stitches. And, you know, that still definitely goes on. But we try to make a distinction, especially when we talk about it in terms of restoration. Like, we're not actually trying to get anybody in trouble. We're trying to get a troubled person help. That's the reason that you intervene. That's the reason that you go get an adult. It's not to punish somebody. It's to get them help because they need help.
That's a really good distinction. And the AHA Peace Builders, that's what they are really trained to do. These are kids who really want to make a difference and want to make people who are feeling left out feel included. And so we spend a lot of time with them. And like, how do you intervene? You know, when is it safe to intervene? When do you get an adult? When do you step in? And if you have a friend and somebody is bullying them and there's you and someone else, if you just kind of say that's not cool, that can go a long way. Sometimes that doesn't work. It's not safe. And we try and help them with the distinction of when to do that and what to do.
I've been to the AHA afternoon programs many times, and for those people listening and wondering whether this is actually effective, I can tell you it's just amazing. If you go there in the beginning of a school year and then you come back later and you see how kids interact and see how whatever the kid looks like or whatever the behavior of the kid was, the group just sort of comes together and everyone supports everybody else, which is a great model. And you know, what they teach you in law school, which I suspect is what happens because I didn't go to law school, is don't ask a question that you don't know the answer to. So I'm not sure you'll know the answer to this, but it's been 19 years. You know, how are those, you know, kids that started, have they come back and have they been able to maintain this, the sensitivity needed to be a really good person?
Yeah. I mean, we see people, now they're not kids anymore, you know, young adults
with
families.
We're not kids anymore either, by the way.
We're not?
No.
Come on, Neil. You know, people who, you know, come up to us and say, you saved my life. Now I have a family. I went for what I really believed in. I finished school. I didn't think I would. You know, you get, it's so satisfying. And Jennifer, who's the other co-founder and executive director.
Jennifer Fried.
She's like really has a big Facebook connection with a lot of these young people. And so is more aware of it than I am. And then there are the ones that have had a harder time in life, like any group. And you know, it just life circumstances or what's happened or their baseline mental health or whatever is just makes it more difficult. But the vast majority really blossom and continue.
And one of the things about perseverance that you can have modeled for your kids is 19 years ago, which happened to be the time we moved here, one of the first couple I met was Randy and Jennifer, and we met and we had drinks, and they were telling me about this idea to create this teen group. And you know, when I left, I said, "Well, good luck with that." And 19 years later,
I didn't know that.
19 years later, you have thousands and thousands of kids that have gone through this, and teachers that have been taught, and a national program. So, you know, my hat's off to you, if I had a hat. But I don't want to get hat here.
No, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah.
The estimate is 20,000 so far, around 20,000 youth served.
Yeah, and they're all, and that's why Jennifer has so many Facebook followers. It's not because she's got great things to say, but they all follow her because of all the good things she did for them. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, Improving Attitude, Creating Social Harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Randy Friedman, co-founder of AHA, and Melissa Lowenstein, the program director and one of the best dancers at AHA. For those of you who missed Singin' Out, which is one of the great, Singin' Out is...
But nothing about my singing.
Well, you, as I said, you're dancing... No, you know, Singin' Out is a fantastic program because it takes kids, some who can sing, some who can't sing, some who can't talk, mm-hmm. and puts them at the Libero Theater and in front of, 500 people, and they do it. It's just an amazing breakthrough. It's what it is. It's a breakthrough event, and it's going to be this year, the end of April?
It is April 29th, Sunday, and tickets are on sale now.
And to get tickets, you can go to the Libero box office or to HaHa or just the
Libero.
Just the Libero.
Yeah.
Seriously, it is a great, great show. We've been talking about how HaHa helps kids, but one of the ways to leverage your knowledge is through teaching teachers, because by teaching one kid, you're teaching one kid. Teaching a teacher, that person then can go out and help so many others. And so that's something, it's one of your initiatives now, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We've been doing it over the years, I'd say for the last 12 years, here and there, teaching educators how to bring social-emotional things into the classroom. And this year, we had a wonderful grant that allowed us to train to teach 50 educators in the Westlake area how to bring social-emotional learning into their classrooms. And we've met twice. It's like three sections, and we have tracking on how they're using what we have been teaching them and where they have problems or not, and then we can coach them. And what we're seeing is that they are so thrilled to get this information, because rather than it being like an extra thing they have to teach, it actually helps them feel more enlivened in their own classroom and more connected to their students, which in turn makes the students more connected and interested in learning. So it is exactly what the national statistics and research says, is that when you slow down to connect, you actually, kids learn more ultimately. And so we have this great program going on now.
Mm-hmm. And the Crown Foundation looked at different programs and try to come up with best practices. And 2 years ago, I think you were one of the top programs that they looked at everyone across the country, and they did, you know, some good statistical analysis. And this is a national, very large foundation that decided that this is a program that really needs to be embraced, which is a great tribute to you guys. And teaching teachers in Santa Barbara, has there been any resistance here?
We've done, I think, three different teacher trainings in Santa Barbara over the last few years. And what's funny is that sometimes teachers are kind of made or heavily requested to come, and they come in a little grumbly. And then because what we do is so experiential and enlivening, we consistently get, this was like the best training I've gone to, and then they feel excited about it. So we are hoping to do more trainings of educators and teachers in Santa Barbara, in the county.
Okay, now what about training parents? So yes. I remember one of the great lines of one of the AHA kids a few years ago was, this program was so good, I wish my mother could go to it. And how do you get a parent, for example, let's assume a parent of a child that was bullied, and their child goes to a restorative session, and the perpetrator or the bully doesn't get penalized, gets an education on how much hurt. And the parent comes back and says, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. My child was, do you ever get that pushback from the parents who don't really understand this process?
Well, let me say one thing, and then Melissa has a lot more experience with her kids in the school and everything. Ideally, the parent would be involved in that circle, in that restorative circle. So that's how it's supposed to be done in an ideal world, when people have tons of time and they can go out and they can talk to the parents, and then they bring the parents in. So they completely understand. And a restorative meeting is that the person who did the harm is taking full responsibility and willing to do whatever repair is that everybody comes up with. If the person doesn't take responsibility and doesn't want to do the repair, then it reverts back to whatever the punishment model would be. So there's a lot of education that needs to happen around restorative. I mean, so this is where you're absolutely right. The parents need to be educated about it, as well as the students and the teachers. And Melissa?
Oh, yes. so I think one of the fundamental issues right now is that we tend only to start talking about social and emotional learning and skill building when we have a problem, when things go wrong, when there's a rupture, when people have to make up after a fight. And what this is, what really our work is about, is setting a foundation when things are going fine so that when things go wrong, everybody knows what to do and how to fix it. So that involves parents, that involves teachers, that involves students, that involves everybody being on the same page in terms of developing just some basic skills around communication and emotion management and how to talk to each other in a really respectful way, even when we disagree. And these are the things that we work with. And also how to repair, like when you mess up, because everybody who's messed up today? Me? Okay. So even, you know, you mess up in a small way, you mess up in a big way, you know how to make an effective repair with somebody. So these are skills that we want to teach to everybody who's willing to show up to learn them. And we do have parent groups that we run every semester. And we do our best to get as many parents from our after-school program and summer program as we can to come to that. And we also offer it to our junior high Peace Builder parents. And everybody's so busy, and it's really hard sometimes for people to get there. And we'd love to bring that to more parents because it really, they are setting the example in their home with their child, even if their child doesn't seem to give any you-know-whats about what their parents do and say. It's the loudest sound in the room is what the parents comportment.
And Rendy, yeah. You're a therapist and have a private practice, or had a private practice. I'm not sure what it is today, but you've dealt with married couples. Isn't this helpful to a married couple as well?
This is helpful to everybody, to a person that you work with, to your friendship. We all have ruptures in relationship, and the whole idea behind this is to, through ruptures, we can strengthen relationships. But people are so scared of conflict and scared of punishment and scared of being abandoned or criticized that we avoid conflict or we harden ourselves. And so this whole way of looking at it restoratively is really helpful working with couples. And I still do, I have a small practice, so I still do it a little bit.
So when my wife complains that I can't hear and sent me to an ear doctor, you don't think that's because I'm trying to avoid confrontation? Because I really do hear well.
And you want to ask me about this on the air, Neil?
Could I? Would you mind if I lie down? I could. But, you know, the thing about, we talked before about emotional intelligence, we're talking about empathy, we talk about restorative programs. It all is relevant, not just to being a high school kid, which is pretty miserable to begin with, but it's also true to have a life when you're 30, 40, 50, 60,
yes,
and,
yes.
And a married, and, you know, dealing yes. with a spouse, well, not dealing with a spouse, but being a good spouse. Right?
There you go.
Being a good spouse.
Since the very beginning of AHA, people have said, why don't you do an AHA for adults?
Yeah.
Because we all need this, and it's so much fun, and it's so connecting. So, yeah, we need to do that.
We were talking in particular about creative group and about how, it was Jennifer and I were talking about this, about how so few people now really make space for creativity in their daily lives. And how fun it would be to have a creative group for grown-ups where they could come and like paint one day, and they could write slam poetry another day, and we could do interpretive dance, and like that would be really fun. You want to sign up for that one, Neil?
I think, you know what we should do? We have 1.5 segments left. Let's do interpretive dance. Because I don't have a problem with doing dance as long as it's on the radio.
On the radio.
You first.
Actually, this is a good time to take a break. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here with Rendy Friedman, co-founder of AHA, and Melissa Lowenstein, program director of AHA. And I should apologize, and a very good singer as well as a dancer.
Thank you.
I got a text from someone saying that that was not nice, and you were a great singer. So I truly apologize. This is restorative.
Yes. Now you say, how can I repair that with you?
Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
So we just came through, and hopefully we've come through, some of the worst weather-related disasters in California's history, in this city and in Montecito particularly, with the floods. And we have the DACA problem, where we have a very high Hispanic population, and I suspect some kids are afraid they're going to go home and their parents won't be there. How can you, you know, have this program of teaching, you know, empathy and caring about other people when you're scared? Isn't being scared makes it even more difficult? And how do you deal with being scared?
Mm-hmm. So, and you're talking...
For these kids. These kids are dealing with just being a teen. That's bad enough.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there's a flood. My mother's not going to be there when I get home. It's pretty nasty out there.
Well, again, if they have... We offer places for them to talk about that and get support and have it normalized. I can't tell you how many adults I've been sitting with throughout these last couple of months who are... you know, kind of chronically depressed and under-resourced because we've all are traumatized, really, by everything that goes on. And then you take a teen who may or is afraid of the immigration policies and what's going to happen with their family. It's about support. It's about connection. And at AHA, we have eight licensed therapist and several interns, many of whom are trained in trauma-specific work, like with EMDR. And so we have really opened up a trauma clinic for people who have been impacted by the mudslides and the fire to come in and do brief trauma work on that. And then we do work with our teens, too. So teens who are in AHA get referred to our therapists or other therapists when we see that they need that extra help. But it really is like we end up talking in our groups a lot more about what's going on right now that people are afraid about and getting that out so that they can think beyond that.
You know, it's amazing. If you look at where we are today as a society compared to when we grew up, there is, you know, forget Me Too, that's a whole other subject, but no one worried about emotional intelligence or bullying or empathy when we went to school. You know, one of the good things about what's happening now, I'm sure it was not a bigger problem, maybe it wasn't as exacerbated as it is with social media, but it was pretty bad back then. At least we're facing up to it today.
Yeah.
And so, speaking of the past, let's just briefly talk about both of your favorite subjects, yourselves. So, Melissa, where are you from?
I was born in Livingston, New Jersey, and I grew up in all kinds of different places on the East Coast, and most recently in Virginia. I lived in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is now famous.
Infamous.
And moved out here in 1995 to Santa Barbara.
And how'd you get interested in this area?
Well, it's funny. I actually have always been a writer. That's always been my biggest passion. And I was working as a freelance writer and editor. And I suddenly found myself becoming unmarried. I was getting a divorce. And I needed a job. I couldn't just sit at home in my pajamas and write books anymore. So I was connected with Jennifer and Rendy, and they needed a grant writer. And I said, I've never written a grant in my life, but I'm willing to give it a try. And then I was AHA's grant writer for 7 years and was really passionate about the work, which is what made grant writing actually fun. And I was able to become involved in the programming as well as a facilitator here and there. And then by the time I was liberated from grant writing, I was really ready to take on the responsibilities that I have now. So, and part of the great thing about AHA is that everybody wears a lot of hats. And really gets to really be on the ground in many aspects of the programming. So I felt like just so primed to be part of the programming aspect of things by the time it was time for me to do that.
And somewhere along the line, you got a master's in education.
I have a master's in education. I have an undergraduate degree in theater and dance. So I just like to be a ham.
Oh, that's why you were a good dancer.
Thank you. Which puts...
Okay, that doesn't count.
I think my hamminess is one of my biggest recommenders as a facilitator.
So I want to get to yes. Rendy, because mm-hmm. speaking of dance, I don't know if anyone really realizes it, but Rendy was a cheerleader.
Oh, my goodness.
I have seen a picture of... Not only a cheerleader, it was a college cheerleader at a major football school. I am very impressed. I've never met a cheerleader before.
Wow.
And cheerleading does relate.
I'm dumbfounded, Neil, and speechless that you're talking about this on.
Well, then has that helped? Has that helped in this? You watch Glee, I expect, because this.
You're like really. I did watch Glee.
So tell us about yourself. How did you get involved?
That's
with
hilarious. It wasn't really through cheerleading, but I was a high school teacher at a certain point in my life, and I liked working with the students better than teaching the subject of English. And my life went on a lot of different tracks, and ultimately, it's really focused around education. When I had small children, I helped found the Waldorf School here because I've always been passionate about education and alternative education, so people, you know, that educating more than just the head part. And then I finished my master's in psychology and then it morphed together, and now I do both together. It's kind of lovely how that happened.
Right. So. And the program has now about 18 professionals?
In terms of therapists?
Staff,
we have 25.
Okay. And the thing that I don't know if people realize, but with very, very few exceptions, these programs are given free to our community, and it's all donation based. And I'm an expert at being a patient, and I know what it costs. And what these kids are getting is first class help. And you're not a therapist, but you're giving these kids life exposure that is priceless. And those people who are lucky enough to donate are really getting a sense of, should be getting a sense of satisfaction because of what you do. This is not a program that really costs anything. In fact, one of the most interesting things that AHA does is sometimes they run into resistance from parents who are maybe first generation and don't understand that there are things that are important to kids, and the kid is in summer hiatus and says, you got to go to school. I mean, you got to go to work. You got to bring money back. So what AHA does is in their summer program, they'll pay, or even their afternoon program.
It's the afternoon program.
The afternoon program. You will pay kids to go to the program, mm-hmm. so the mm-hmm. parents see that they're bringing home money. Otherwise, they'd be working at McDonald's, which is really wonderful.
Right. The other thing I want to say about how we organize what we do is that teenagers really for the most part, do not want to be in therapy. And one-on-one can be helpful at some point, but really what's positive is when they are in a group together and learning together and practicing connection and skills and together, because they're teenagers and they want to be social. So that's kind of why AHA works as well as it does.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be back with our final segment.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers. In the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Rendy Friedman, the co-founder of AHA, and Melissa Lowenstein, the program director of AHA. And I just want to touch on one more element from that study that was done by those two professors. They found that 20 to 30% of students above the elementary school level had seen a weapon of some kind during the school year. And one of the things they would hope is that if you witness that, you should tell an adult, because there is a benefit, because maybe you can do something if the authorities are aware. But then this goes to the, and they quoted here, the snitching culture. Mm-hmm. You know, so how do we reconcile, emotional intelligence, snitching, and doing the right thing?
Well, I think it's about setting a certain climate in schools and starting early on. So this is, again, what's now called social emotional learning. But if you emphasize connection and relationship and repair from the very beginning of schooling through, and students feel safe to talk to teachers, and it isn't an us and them situation, they're more apt to talk to somebody.
Yeah, is there time for me to add something? So one of the things we do in schools is we do an emotion management day, where we talk about what happens when you get overwhelmed with a big emotion and you kind of flip your lid. And we ask the kids, who here knows an adult who just totally can't manage their emotions? And every single kid goes, like, raises their hand. And that got me thinking that one of the reasons that kids don't go to an adult is because they're afraid the adult's going to flip out on them and that they're not going to handle it well. And they've all seen this happen enough times. Most have seen it happen enough times that they are really they can be very tentative about going, what adult do I go to who's not going to flip out? And so that places the responsibility again back on the adults, like to self-reflect. I had a parent-parent group yesterday who beautifully self-reflected. Oh my gosh, I flip out all the time. And that's something that I really want to work on. And so for us to be willing to look at ourselves, to make ourselves a safer harbor for a kid to share something that's challenging.
You know, it's funny, dealing with a family in therapy is usually a more effective way of dealing with problems because you get everybody involved, and it seems like it's true with any kind of group, mm-hmm. and this group is society. If we could get everybody involved, it would be much more effective. The need to know all of this is really important, but is it effective in preventing? Like, if in Parkland, they were all graduates of AHA, would they have been able to spot Nicholas Cruz beforehand? I know it's an impossible question.
It is an impossible question.
But is there things you can look for as an educator, therapist, as a friend, to really have a sense? And they say, by the way, in this report, only less than 1% of kids that talk about doing something does something. So it's really the odds are against you predicting.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. And, you know, I think that people do recognize when someone's having a hard time, but they don't know what to do about it. And they don't know who to go and talk to. And schools typically haven't had a good system set up to do that.
And it's, again, about that setting up a context before somebody goes off the rails so that... In that sort of a setting where, first of all, if you do something wrong, there's going to be an attempt at restoration and healing rather than expulsion and punishment. And I'm not saying, you know, there are certain things, of course, you have to remove somebody because they're a danger to others. That's completely a possibility. But in terms of being able to always recognize that person, it's like you really can't, unfortunately.
Okay, so how could we help? What, besides donating money, which you can do by going to
aha.sb.org.
You can donate right there. Mm-hmm. And you have events, too, that you can come to and have fun and donate.
Yes.
And we talked about one, Sing It Out. What other events do we have?
Well, we have an event coming up on April 21st, which also happens to be Earth Day. In the morning, from 9 to 12, we are having an event we're calling Rising Together. And it's built around this really cool idea of building a living art piece from as many hundreds of people as we can bring together, all in white shirts, where they're going to make the shape of a dove that's rising from a field of ash and flames. And it's going to be photographed from above. And there's a man named Daniel Dancer who does this work all over the world. And if you go to his website, Art for the Sky, you can see examples of his work. So we're going to do that. We're also going to have tabling opportunities for organizations and businesses that want to share resources, because we just came out of a really hairy time, and we really want to know, again, proactively, like, what resources are available to people in the South Coast before they need them. Let's get them in touch with those resources. And there's going to be music with this great guy, Rob Wright. So it'll be a really fun, galvanizing, community-building celebration that we just made it through a lot of really bad stuff.
These events, particularly the Sing It Out, is something that not only will be of help to our whole community here, but also is a lot of fun. So you want to consider it. Go on their website and see all the things. Rindy and Melissa, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your cheerleading. Thank you for your singing and dancing. You've been listening to AHA Presents about education. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.